Ramsey TV.
Don't you love it when God has patterns? Don't you love it when you see that He keeps doing the same things over and over again to the point that, and this is the shocker, God is predictable? This is Martin Zender. You are at MZTV at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. I am here in my kitchen in Fort Lauderdale making sense for a living 5 days a week and loving it and loving it. And in fact, you've heard me say this, God is in a big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable rut. He has patterns that He does over and over again. And the patterns, once you discern them, and there's more than one, but I'm pointing out one particular one today. And that pattern is God never uses the first, but the second. God never uses the first, but the second. I'm going to show you several examples of this in the scripture, and then I'm going to apply it to you personally. God never uses the first, but the second. The biggest example, the best example, the earliest example would be Adam. Adam was the first human, but he was not the last. Let's say he was the first Adam, but he was not the last Adam, because we know that our Lord and Savior came to redeem the race, and He is known as the last Adam. Adam, the first man, and our Lord Jesus Christ are representative men. God used the first one to get us bogged down in sin and death. And He used the second one to get us out of sin and death. And the question I always ask, not that I don't know the answer, but because someone out there might have the question, if it comes back to where it was before, why did it get screwed up in the first place? Just keep Adam. Who needs the second Adam? It is for the experience of evil. The experience of evil is so valuable in giving us a knowledge of the good that it cannot be dispensed with. So we need the first Adam. As in Adam, all are dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Again, no death, no vivification. Then there's Abraham, the father of faith. Oh, let me go back to Adam real quick. It's not as though God is like, if at first you don't succeed, try again. No, that's why we go to the second thing. We go to plan B, N, C, and D, and E. God, twice with God, doesn't use the first one. Well, He uses it. So it's not a great title. I might change it. God never uses the first but the second. Now, that's a bad title. I'm going to have to change that. God never maybe ends with the first. We think that the first thing is the best thing because we don't know any better. We haven't seen anything. If you were to see Adam in the Garden of Eden, you would think that that was the perfect situation. Adam probably thought it was perfect. He wouldn't have known any better, but it wasn't. It was not ideal because he had no appreciation of the good that he had. He had to go through the evil, and he did. And the second Adam comes to redeem. So when God brings the first, and the first appears to wreck, the first appears to go off the road through the guardrail down into the ravine, fear not. And this is going to comfort you at the end of this talk, because I'm going to talk about you. There's Abraham. He had two sons. Well, he had probably more than two, but the two sons we're concerned about are Ishmael and Isaac. God promised him when he was an old man that he was going to be the father of many nations, he would have a son. Of course, he was childless at the time. He waited and waited and waited. You know the story. It got to be so late in life that he decided that, well, Sarah decided, why don't you just have sex with my handmaiden because I'm barren. You can't get it up. Well, yeah, actually, he could. She had the problem early on. Later, when Abraham was 100 years old, then he couldn't get it up. But God invigorated him. And you notice the word vigor seems to be kind of a root word of Viagra, kind of like spiritual Viagra God gave Abraham. But first, Abraham had to produce a first son, Ishmael, in the flesh. God didn't end with that one. He used it as a backdrop. He used it as an example of people working in the flesh. And what we're going to see with all these before and afters, kind of like you could say, is We're comparing human strength versus God's ability. Ishmael is the son of the flesh, Isaac the son of the promise. And Isaac, of course, was a miracle of God. Now let's go to Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac. Esau's the firstborn, so you would think he would have all the blessings, the advantages of the firstborn, but God doesn't end with him. He gives the blessing to Jacob. Oh, good old Eve, too, in the Garden of Eden. God promised her that through her seed, he would crush the head of the serpent, and so she gave birth to Cain, and she said, "See, there's my seed. I did it." Like, that would be the only kid ever born, and why would she think any different? Okay, I've produced the one who's going to crush the serpent's head, so we'll go to lunch, God, and call us when it's over. Yeah. The seed was Christ. Look how long it took. And it wasn't even, you know, through Cain. Abel was the good guy, the second one. Then there's the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, which was imperfect, and the new priesthood that will come when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, which is the Melchizedek priesthood. Great topic. I love this topic. It's that the Levitical priesthood, as great as it was, those garments were beautiful. They had tassels. They had the 12 stones on the breastplate and like pomegranates hanging off the hem. Just wonderful things. Probably golden slippers. I'm not sure, but also beautiful. And the pageantry, my God, when the high priest went in there once a year to atone for the sins of Israel, that was an exciting time. But it gives way. It is not going to be used. It's not going to be kept. God never keeps. That's what I'll do. God never keeps the first, but the second. Nice. I got it. It wasn't kept because it was imperfect, because the priests kept having to offer the sacrifice over and over again, year after year after year. It never took away sin to a finality. So there's a different priesthood. There's a new priesthood, not of the order of Levi, not of the order of Aaron. You had to be out of the tribe of Levi to be, here I go again, I can't start talking about this, I'm going to get sidetracked. You can go to my Hebrew series on the all-new Zender Sheridan Show on my website. Scroll down the left-hand side of my homepage. You'll see the all-new Zender Sheridan Show. And they're kind of mixed up in there. It's not very well organized. I apologize for that. So we have Adam. Oh, I didn't even mention this. The covenant. It was on my list early. I just jotted these down as they came to me, but there has to be more. There has to be more. The new covenant succeeds the old covenant. The old covenant is the first, but God doesn't keep the first around. And it was wonderful when it came down. Paul says the law is righteous, the law is good. The law came with great glory, but it was a fading glory, so that Moses, the lawman, the guy who got it at Mount Sinai, had to put a covering over his face. After he came from the mountain, his face was shining. And it probably made a noise like vibrating maybe even. But it was a fading glory because the old covenant, that is the first covenant is what I want to call it this evening. I'm not used to making shows at night, so I'm doing the best I can. That covenant was decrepit. It was passing away. The glory on Moses' face faded. And so he put a covering over so Israel couldn't see that it was a fading glory, because they still had to be excited about it. They still had to try to do it. It was all part of the plan that they fail. Again, showing man's strength, human strength, which is wanting, which is lacking. The first Adam, obviously lacking. He sins practically out of the gate. Ishmael. God says, nope, that's not the son. You produced it in your own flesh. And there's poor Sarah sitting on the sidelines asking you if you liked it. And hopefully you lied, Abraham. But no problem, because God brings the second, and the second he keeps, that is Isaac. Isaac is the son of promise, the progenitor of Israel. Yeah, Jacob and Esau and Jacob. I put Esau first, but that's quite a thing. The firstborn should get the blessing, but Jacob got the blessing, even though he tricked his father. Priesthood. The priesthood. Yep, the Levitical priesthood goes along with the covenant. The old covenant gives way to the new covenant. The Levitical / Aaronic priesthood gives way to the Melchizedek priesthood, because Jesus Christ is the high priest of that order, the order of Melchizedek. Because, well, how could he be a priest? Because he's not of the tribe of Levi. He's from Judah. Well, because we have a transference of the priesthood. Love that topic. It just shows you that it's not like, well, if at first you don't succeed, try again. People could look at the Bible, and if they're not at Scripture, if they're not looking at it intelligently, they're going to think that God is trying something. It doesn't work. Like, he tried Adam. Didn't work. Nah, he has to go to Christ. And that's what most Christians think, that Adam was supposed to be the perfect thing. But Adam failed. Ah, gee whiz. Now I have to bring the second. It's like, oh, now I have to bring the second. It's not like that. The covenant. Oh, too bad. Christians still think the old covenant supposed to work. It's unbelievable. They're putting the Ten Commandments on the walls of their church, and they actually like the stone tablets. They love it, even though it's a dispensation of condemnation and death. Oop, well, that's just a little detail. But they still want that old covenant. They say they want the new covenant because it sounds so fashionable, you know. It sounds very, very modern, the new covenant. But they're stuck in the old. They're still trying to prop up the old. So they do probably think, oh, God really meant the old covenant to work, but Israel was too stubborn, so gotta go to a new covenant, like it's plan B. Christianity thinks all this stuff is plan B, including the priesthood. Too bad those Levites couldn't get it right. Too bad the chief priest Aaron was such a doofus, he couldn't get it right. Now we gotta go to this weirdo named Melchizedek. Who is he? But no, this was God's plan all along. Now I'm getting to you. This is the punchline right here, because this is going to comfort you. It did me when I thought of it and when I looked at the pattern, and now I'm applying it to the human body. Because this is a pattern, and I've only named a few. These are just the headlines. There's got to be more. Now consider the body, the human body. Our human body is sown, a soulish body. It is raised, a spiritual body. It is sown in infirmity. It is raised in glory. It is sown mortal, dying. It is raised immortal, never to die again. And if there is a soulish body, and there is, then there is a spiritual body also. But not first the spiritual, but the soulish. Thereupon the spiritual. Why? Because God is in a big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable rut. He never keeps the first. The first comes forth as a demonstration of human weakness, of human inability. And then against the backdrop of that weakness and inability, God shows his strength and ability. And he changes the thing. Notice, it's still Adam, it's just the second Adam. It's still a covenant, it's just a new covenant. It's still a son of Abraham, it's just the son of the promised. The promise, it's still a priesthood. It's just an indissoluble priesthood. And it's still a human body. You are still going to have a human body, because that's the pattern. But it will no longer be a body subject to death, to decay, to weakness, to infirmity, to mortality. Because according to this pattern I'm reading, God doesn't keep the first. These bodies of ours, this body you have now, God's not going to keep it. That's not the pattern. The pattern is that He will dispose of it. Even us while we're yet living. And we will be given new bodies, still bodies, but new bodies. It is so sure to happen because the old is never kept. It's only kept long enough to highlight the contrast. Because when the second comes in, and God never keeps the first, but the second. When the second comes in, it exceeds in glory by magnitudes the first. It exceeds it. And when the second comes, and now I'll use the example of the human body, your body, my body. When the second body comes, the spiritual body, He keeps it. Because our new bodies, our second bodies, will live for the eons and beyond.